Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by BIC Recruiting, the leader in energy market recruiting.
Each journey begins with a first step. Take that step with BIC Recruiting and begin your journey with a new career. With over 18 years' experience in providing employment solutions in the energy industry, we work with top-tier companies for their hiring needs. Top jobs with top companies. Visit our website, bicrecruiting.com, to see our latest job offerings.
Thank you for tuning in as we are with our panel of industry leaders, Craig Beskid, Brandon Mabel, and Jim Griffin, discussing the industry needs for workforce development. Has the general lowering of the employment rate nationwide impacted your efforts on bringing in the workforce that is needed here on the Gulf Coast?
Mark, I would say in a way it has, but with Houston and Texas in general, Texas kind of sat out the last recession. And so our unemployment's been low for years. So that's a struggle that we've been dealing with as long as I've been in the industry, for 12 years of fairly low unemployment in Houston, other than a little blip when the cost of oil really bottomed out there a handful of years ago. But I would say it overall, it's kind of more of the same here, and we're continuing to fight those same battles. But, now we're looking to the underemployed. We're looking to how do we get those people engaged? How do we get, I always joked, your 25-year-old barista with an English literature degree making $19,000 a year at Starbucks? How do we convince that person that, hey, there's some artistry and welding, and come use that and come make a good living and support your family? And so that's going to be a big drive, is looking at the underemployed. And, there's also several hundred thousand military personnel who are leaving active duty every year and becoming veterans. And so a big effort for ECMA, for CMEF, and for the community colleges is how do we reach those veterans, and how do we put training in place in their last year of service before they separate from the military, so that when they come out, they can hit the ground running with marketable skills and can further their training while they get jobs in our industry.
Yeah, Brandon, that's really interesting. I'm excited with our veterans. About 15% of our enrollment at the college is veterans, and we get a chance to talk to them frequently. And we're really proud when they come and get upskilled with us, because they get an associate degree. Average time is about 2.3 years. And they come out with an associate degree. You combine that with their experience and their discipline and all of the character that was built in their military experience. That's an employee that generally does so well in the petrochemical industry with their career.
Okay. Craig, are there any new initiatives that y'all are looking at there at ECMA coming up over the next couple of years? Or what would be y'all's biggest concern a year out from now?
Well, one of the concerns is the same ones we've had for a while, and we'll continue plugging away on them. And that is, recruitment of folks into the industry and dispelling misconceptions about the industry. As Brandon mentioned, that it has an unsafe or dirty image out there in the public. This is not your grandfather's labor gang, as we used to say. These facilities and their control rooms have been upgraded significantly, and they look like, modern control rooms at NASA or other places. And there's been a significant change in how those facilities are operated and controlled. And we want to reach out to a more diverse workforce as well. The inclusion of a greater number of females in our facilities and in our control rooms is certainly an objective of ECMA, and we'll continue to reach out to those folks through every channel that we have, including an increasing presence in social media, because that's where folks are looking at what's available. So we'll continue to do our existing outreach as well as add some things to it as well.
You know, Craig, I think that the teams that have been led by ECMA have done a really good job in a couple of areas. One is safety. You know, when we see those safety statistics, the industry was good 20 years ago. Where they're at today is approaching excellence. Some of these safety statistics that we see are phenomenal. It's one of the safest industries in the country. So I think as that message continues to get out there, and the diversity of the workforce and why we want a diverse workforce, you go into a petrochemical plant, it's chemistry and physics and math and mechanics and construction, communication, technical writing. It has so much collaborative activity to be successful in this industry that there's opportunities for everybody here. And when you get a diverse workforce, you get problem solving and critical thinking and collaborative decision making. And appreciate this is a competitive business. This is a globally competitive business. And when you're out there running these plants, you know, you need to get better every day. And the only way you do that is with a diverse workforce.
Brandon, just a question for you, essentially the same as over the next year coming forward beyond that. Does ABC have any different plans or different outreach programs in the thought process?
So, Mark, one of the things we're trying to do now is digital, is getting on the social media, but being very targeted about it, being very targeted in demographics, looking at, like Craig said, looking at minorities, looking at women, and looking at ways to bring them into the industry and to be very targeted in our advertising and our awareness campaign through things like Facebook and Instagram and even platforms like Snapchat that are skewing much, much younger. So that's going to be a major initiative for us going forward. You know, another issue, ABC nationally, and like I said in my introduction, I'm the chairman of the ABC Greater Houston chapter, but ABC has 70 chapters throughout the U.S. and represents 22,000 construction contractors. And nationally, our vice president of workforce development stood in the White House back in October and made a commitment to the president that we were going to, as an association, train or upskill 500,000 workers between now and 2022. And we are well on track to exceed that goal. But that's a major initiative for us, is to bring new people in, to upskill the existing workforce, and to try to meet the needs that the U.S. economy has as a national organization. And a big part of that is going to be right here in Houston, Texas, simply due to the massive amount of projects that Craig spoke about earlier on the podcast.
Well, Jim, same question to you, except for how it is. Your plans there at San Jacinto College going forward?
Well, thanks, Mark. Yeah, we've got a game changer fixing to start here in 7 months. So we've committed a 20-acre site and nearly $70 million to build a world-scale petrochemical energy training facility. So for the past 4 years, there's been a planning group collaborative with the construction industry and the owners and operators of this greater East Harris County community. And I'm proud to say the project is on time, on schedule. We'll be open in August. It's very special. We have 39 custom laboratories, all of those partnered between industry and academia. We've looked at all of our curriculum. We're modifying curriculum and content, how we deliver. And this site is based 50% on our credit students. We have about 2,500 credit students that come out with degrees in process technology, instrument, electrical, quality, and safety. But the other half of this plan, this strategy, is to upskill the way both Mark and Craig have mentioned and Brandon have mentioned, is the upskilling of our current workforce. It's a technology center. And the way we run petrochemical plants today is much different than the way we ran a petrochemical plant a decade ago. And as we look out a decade, and our partners are looking at all different types of big data, Industry 4.0, how are we going to run these petrochemical plants even safer even better environmental performance, more efficiency. So it's exciting. It's going to be a game changer for us in the industry starting August of 2019.
That is just a fantastic facility that's being built over there at San Jacinto College. And it's an example of, I think, what we can all do when we work together in a common goal like that. As Jim said, there has been significant participation and collaboration between the industry, the academic institutions, specifically San Jacinto College, and the construction industry, and I think that has made the result better for all of us.
You've given very good insight into the issues that are being faced in the industry and what y'all are doing at ABC and at ECMA and at San Jacinto College to help serve those the industry needs. Any final words that you would like to add?
One of the things that is close to my heart and I think is a significant contributor to everything we're doing here to address workforce issues on the Gulf Coast is about 2 years ago, we decided to formalize this cooperation that we've all been talking about. And there's been the formation of the Petrochem Works steering team. And that's composed of six plant managers of the owner companies from companies like INEOS, not like INEOS, INEOS, BASF, Dow, ExxonMobil, and Chevron Phillips Chemical, as well as LyondellBasell. And then five of the executive leadership of the industrial contractors. Brandon is on that steering team from Performance. But we have Turner and S&B and ISC and Force Corporation. And this formalizes all of what we've been talking about earlier, the collaboration and cooperation. By having those participants and other organizations like the Economic Alliance that does Dream It, Do It, and the Community Colleges as part of that, and the Construction Maintenance Education Foundation, we're all under that umbrella. And that allows us to truly align, integrate, and remove barriers to change. And that results in significant change across the industry. And we're not just sitting back and doing planning, but there's actually written documents and best practices that come out of this collaboration. So far, we've had best practices released on onboarding. We've had them released on training, kind of to align training amongst our organizations that do training. And we also want to make sure things are adequately funded where we need more funds for training and those funds being allocated correctly. So we work very hard to get participation on the training contributor agreements across our industry. I know that might have been a little long-winded, but I wouldn't want to let this go without describing that significant effort and thanking our partners like Brandon and Jim that participate.
Well, Craig, let me add to that, too. If you work for an owner company and you're not a member of ECMA or you are a member of ECMA and you're not involved, you know, we need your help and we need you to get involved. If you work for a contractor and you're not a member of ABC CMEF, you know, we need you to get involved. And if you're the best training organization out there and you don't need your help, well, we need your help. And we need you to come and help make the whole industry better. And if you're not the best training organization out there, then we think we've got some tools to help you both on the owner side and on the contractor side. We've got great partners like Sanjack and Lee College and HCC, and that's going to continue to grow with our training partners. But, you know, for this to work, for the industry to rise up and solve this problem, it needs to be a response from the entire industry. And so if you're out there, if you've been sitting on the fence, you know, this training works. If you look at construction productivity from 1972 to today, it's been relatively flat. But in that same time, time on tools has decreased immensely for good reasons due to things like safety training on job sites, daily safety meetings and job box talks and and for a whole myriad of reasons, but time on tools has decreased, but productivity has stayed flat, which means that this training is working, the upskill is working. Our employees are more efficient with the time they have on tools today than they were in 1972. And if we can all come together, we can continue to build on that. But, you know, we need support. We need industry support on both sides, on the owner and the contractor side. So that would be my plea to you guys out there on the fence is jump on board and get involved.
Well said, Brandon. Well said. The Greater Houston Partnership for the past 4 years has been an excellent partner with the Petrochem Works steering team that I described earlier. What they bring is that they are the designated business representative for all of the Houston area. So they have sectors of their workforce effort that are dealing with shortages in nursing, shortages in other technical fields, be it aeronautics or others. And since we and the petrochem industry got started with a model that has worked for us, the Greater Houston Partnership not only has been providing resources to support that model and marketing and just general help to that model, they're actually incorporating that model for other workforce deficient areas in the region. So they're helping us with strengthening our model, as well as reaching out to other businesses in the region that may not have had a chance to intersect with the petrochem industry. And now they're having a chance to intersect with us based on our workforce model. But they're also amplifying, or if you will, turning up the volume on bringing some attention to the issues and needs of the petrochem industry here in the Houston area. So we see that as a two-way benefit. Great Houston Partnership is contributing to our success, and I think we are strongly contributing to their success with areas like nursing and banking and other regions that learn from what we've done, and we learn from them.
You know, Craig, that's a great partnership with GHP. And the fact that GHP really represents that greater Houston area, which is huge. And over on the east side, in addition to that, speaking about community, we have our community advisory panels. They've been together for over two decades. We have 11 of those. And they operate very structured professionals that lead and facilitate. So what that looks like is in these 11 areas of East Harris County, small groups, and when I say small, they can be as large as 100 in a community advisory panel. And there are people within the community that sit down once a month. They meet with the plant managers on any topic they're interested in. It could be discussions about safety, environmental, traffic, chemistry, workforce, and they're very healthy discussions. It's very collaborative. And the fact that they've been together for over two decades, identifying opportunities, sometimes solving problems. And it's community-based, it's grassroots, and very, very powerful. Mark, I guess I would just close by saying, you know, personally, I feel blessed to be part of this industry. It's just been good to me and good to my family. And when I meet new hires that are coming into the industry, starting their career, and I look at where they're starting and where they will progress with this industry, there are so many opportunities. And this is a big global industry, and it's one that produces products that are just critical to the world. I mean, it's everything from medical devices to how we transport people around the globe. And this industry is at the heart of all that. So there's great opportunities. The products that are made are just critical to how we live our life. And it brings a smile to my face when I see someone get started in the industry. So anyone listening to this podcast that has questions or concerns, you know, talk to your folks at ECMA and Economic Alliance and at our community colleges and all the construction industries like ABC, because there's so many people that feel fortunate to be part of this, and it's all about integrity and reliability and how they run their business. The business acumen is second to none. I'm real proud of this industry.
As a student of the history of the industry, it is the philosophy has always been of the integrity you mentioned, but also a can-do attitude. The industry finds problems and it solves them, and it continues to move forward. And the benefits to the world, to the United States, and every individual in these areas cannot be underestimated by what this industry brings to us. So we really appreciate Craig of ECMA, Jim Griffin of San Jacinto College, and Brandon Mabel of Performance Contractors and Chairman of the Board of ABC participating in this podcast. And thank you once again for your time and insight on this extremely vital topic as we look at the growth in the industry that is continuing over the next several years. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading this episode of BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Be sure to follow us on social media for program updates and log on to BICMagazine.com for the latest in industry news and connections. BIC Magazine, the leader in connecting the energy industry. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by BIC Recruiting, the leader in energy market recruiting.
Each journey begins with a first step. Take that step with BIC Recruiting and begin your journey with a new career. With over 18 years' experience in providing employment solutions in the energy industry, we work with top-tier companies for their hiring needs. Top jobs with top companies. Visit our website, BICRecruiting.com, to see our latest job offerings.